Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. And it's good to be in the house of God, as it always is. And I want to echo Pastor's sentiments in that I do feel that there is an atmosphere for deliverance and for liberty and freedom. And I believe this message is in the right vein in regards to that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to... My mind just went blank. Turn with me to John chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. John chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. And this is a very famous passage of Scripture in that it has been deliberated on and taught on in many different fashions, and I want to kind of take a different look at it. In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to the Pharisee Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is questioning him regarding what does it mean to be born again. And Jesus responds, as we see here in verse number 7, where it says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And today I want to preach to you a message simply called Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind. And by the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to preach this. Y'all pray for me. I'm a bit tired in my body. But I know that the Spirit of God is able to do above and beyond what I could ask or think. And I honestly do believe that people can be delivered today through this message. It's definitely impacted myself, and I want to be a blessing to you as well. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we worship you. God, we recognize you for being God. We recognize you, Lord Jesus, in this place. And we invite your presence, oh God, to inspire me. Use me today only as you can. God, to touch the listeners, oh Lord Jesus, that someone might be set free, that someone might be born again. Bless this message, oh Lord Jesus. Give me the capacity, the means to deliver it with power and with clarity. God, that chains would be broken, that people would be set free. Father, we thank you and we bless you. We glorify and exalt you for all that you are and all that you do. And we give you all the praise and the glory. And in Jesus' name, the Church of the Living God say amen. You may be seated. The Bible describes the Spirit of God using natural elements. As we go through the Scripture, whenever we're trying to define what God's Spirit is like, what His presence is like, the Bible often uses natural elements or natural things to help us understand spiritual principles. And when in relation to the Holy Spirit, there are three main things that the Bible uses in nature as an analogy to help us to understand what the Spirit of God is like. One of the first examples that we see that the Holy Spirit is like is that it's like fire. We see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, when Jesus is about to be baptized by John the Baptist, that John is explaining the difference between the baptism that he administrates as compared to the baptism that Jesus Christ would give. And he says in Matthew 3:11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." That the Holy Spirit is compared to fire, and that fire is a very powerful element. It has the ability to incinerate and to annihilate anything that it comes in contact with, but it also has the capacity to purify and to purge elements of impurities. But the Bible doesn't stop there in trying to get us to understand what the Holy Spirit is like, and that the Bible also describes the Holy Ghost to be like water. We see in John chapter 7, verses 38 through 39, when Jesus was at the last day of a feast, that he got up and he cried out to the crowd, and he said this in verse 38, "That he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And so the Holy Spirit is compared to water, in that water is a source of life and sustenance. It refreshes, it washes us, it purges us of impurities and cleanses us. But there's a third element that the Bible uses in order to get us to understand the nature of His presence and of His Spirit. However, the Bible also describes the Holy Spirit as the wind. And all the things I think is interesting about all of these elements that the Bible uses is that all of them are really necessary for life, that we'll use fire to cook and to heat ourselves and to keep ourselves warm. Water is a necessity for life as it sustains us, and that I believe scientists have said that you can go roughly about 3 to 4 days without water. But how long can you go without breathing? So out of all of the analogies that the Bible uses to describe God's presence, I think that the wind is one of the best in describing it. And so whenever it uses the analogy of the wind, we want to really dive into it because you can't go very long without breathing. Air is a necessity for living and for existence for every second of your life. And so let's dive into this thing. You know, when the Lord gave me this message, I was sitting in my car, I was having my prayer time, and this was, I think, Thursday. And it was a very windy day, and I was asking the Lord what to say. I'd been studying some other things, and I didn't feel like that was the right message. And the Lord just said, look at the trees. And I saw the trees moving in the wind. And then the Lord began to give me this message. And there are three questions I want to answer in relation to wind. First off, what is the wind? Have you ever asked yourself, what is it actually? And then secondly, what causes it to blow? What makes the wind move and circulate through the atmosphere? Thirdly, what are the benefits of having the wind blow? What good things come from the wind blowing in our lives or on the earth? First off, I want to define what wind is. What exactly is, when we're talking about wind, what exactly is it? Wind is the flowing of high pressure air into a place of low pressure air. Now, when I use the term high and low pressure, I'm sure you've seen this and you watch the news, you watch the weather. What high pressure means is that there are a lot of molecules and particles that are condensed together, and meaning that there's a lot of pressure. The weight of all the collective air in the atmosphere is very heavy, and it's pushing down on the surface of the earth. It's high pressure. Low pressure is when these molecules are spread apart, and they're sparsely populated, and because of that, there's less mass and less weight above it, and so the pressure is low. Now, what causes the wind to blow is that it flows from high pressure into low pressure. Those differences in pressure is what causes the wind to flow. Now, to kind of get us to understand that, imagine like a hill, imagine a ball on the top of the hill. It's like high pressure is like being on the top of the hill, while the low pressure is like being on the low bottom of the hill. And of course, the ball naturally has a tendency to want to go down to the lower part of the hill because of gravity. It has a tendency to be pulled down to the surface of the earth. In the same sense with high pressure and low pressure, high pressure, its natural inclination is to flow from the higher to the lower. And the reason why is because the atmosphere is trying to bring itself into equilibrium and cause a balance in the pressures. So wherever there's a lower pressure, a lower density of molecules and air matter, the higher pressure wants to naturally flow into that space. High pressure is air, as I said, that is very dense in its molecules, it's very heavy, while low pressure is that its molecules are spread apart and it makes the air lighter and it causes it to rise. And this creates a vacuum. As this lower pressure air, this lighter air, as it rises up, it creates a space that's empty and that naturally sucks the higher pressure down inward into that space. I hope you guys are following me here. It naturally sucks that air into that exact space. Now, I've given you all these facts because I want this to be an analogy in understanding the presence of God. The high pressure, the pressure that there's a lot of molecules, a lot of density and so on, there's a lot of air pressure that's there, I believe it can represent the very presence of God. Because the Bible says in Psalm 9:2 that I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. That whenever we're describing God, we describe him as being Elyon, as being the most high. He is high up, and he is full of lots of density, lots of characteristics and attributes and molecules, so to speak. He's lots of goodness and mercy and grace and joy. He's got lots of love, and there's a lot of pressure, a lot of power that is inside of him. And so when we talk about high pressure, talking about the Spirit of God, we refer to him as being the most high. In Psalm 113, verse 5, the Bible says, who is likened unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. That there is no one that is higher in elevation, no one greater in capacity and character than the character of Elyon, the most high God. The Prince of God is like this high pressure this high-pressure air that's there. Then what does the low pressure represent? The low pressure represents the humble state of a person's heart who is dependent on God. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:19 that better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the ground. Whenever you have a humble spirit, you're making yourself low. You're removing the pressure, so to speak, and you're putting yourself in a lowly state. And remember that air flows from a high pressure to a low pressure. If you want the Spirit of God to blow in your life, you've got to get yourself into a position of humility. Otherwise, there is no airflow. If the air pressure is equal on both sides, the air does not move and it's stagnant. It's all the air only blows and flows when there is a difference in the pressure. There has to be a high pressure and there has to be a low pressure. And since God is the highest of all creation, He is the highest pressure that is there. And whenever we get to a position of humility, a position of repentance, a position of lowliness, that enables the Spirit of God to flow from heaven down into our heart. And one of the reasons why the Spirit of God is not moving in our lives, because we have no humility. We have no lowliness or of spirit, no meekness of spirit, and God is unable to blow in our lives. High pressure, it flows from the top and it goes into the low pressure. For there to be low pressure, there has to be a vacuum or an emptiness of space. Something has to be removed out of the way. The reason why God isn't blowing in your life a lot of times is because there's too much junk in the way. You've got to remove it out of the way, make space, make room for God. And when that happens, that creates a low pressure that allows the wind to blow in your life. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Because of our arrogance, because of our own understanding of ourselves, we will not humble ourselves and allow God to work in our lives. We want to work everything out the way that we think it should be. And because of that, there is no wind that's blowing. There is no Spirit of God that's moving in our lives. Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." When God sees a heart that is truly penitent, when God sees a heart that is humble and submitted unto His will, it attracts Him and it causes the wind of His Spirit to blow in your lives and to oxygenate and to resuscitate and rejuvenate and resurrect the dead situation that you're in, to bring life to your situation, to your spirit, to your mind. If you want God to blow in your life, you've got to humble yourself. There's got to be a lower pressure that's there. We have got to get to a place where we don't think we're so high and mighty that we don't need God. And because we think we're so high and mighty, we don't need God. God is unable to truly operate in our lives. We try and work everything out to our own understanding, to our own intellect, and to our own means and whims. We have our own agendas, our own passions, our own desires in trying to solve the issues of the day, as opposed to relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to blow in our lives and to change the situation. Psalm 138 verse 6 says, "Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knoweth afar off." He knoweth afar off. I want to go back to John chapter 3 and take a look at verse number 7 and just kind of keep your finger there for a minute. Now, what are the benefits of wind? I kind of talked about how, you know, what causes the wind. But what are some benefits of the wind? How does the wind affect the earth? For one, the wind is extremely vital to our food supply, because the wind, it actually carries seeds from plants and causes them to pollinate and to spread along the earth. Number two, that winds help generate more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which the plants use for photosynthesis. In other words, plants rely on the wind blowing carbon dioxide to them that enables their leaves to basically absorb the energy from the sun and convert it into food and into sugar. Thirdly, that the wind is a source of energy for us in the sense that it propels our ships. It's used to harness electricity and to power our homes and to power various motors and so on that are in existence. And these three things are very vital for the functionality of ourselves, of human beings being on the earth. Firstly, the wind, like the wind, the Spirit of God causes the seed of God's word to spread in the soil in our hearts. One of the reasons why that the word of God is not working for you, because you're not allowing the Spirit of God to blow on you, to illuminate your understanding, that it might propagate and get into your heart and cause there to be change. The wind is what spreads the seed of God. The reason why the word of God is now coming to your ears is because it's being blown by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is what propels his word to get down in your heart and to cause change. Like the wind, the Spirit of God also opens our understanding and opens us up to the light so that we can grow, just like the wind also helps plants with photosynthesis. And that also, the wind gives us power and it gives us energy, what propels ships to move along the sea. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That the wind is what gives us power and energy and gives us the ability to be propelled along the surface of the sea. Okay, now go back to John 3:7. I jumped ahead of myself. So Nicodemus has just asked Jesus, what does it mean to be born again? And Jesus explains that the process is similar to the blowing of the wind. And the reason why is because the blowing of the wind in the sky is the exact same process that happens when a person breathes. Have you ever wondered how is it that you're able to breathe, how your lungs function? Your lungs actually really don't do anything as far as getting the air inside of your body. All they do is they store the air. But what actually causes the air to go inside of your body is something called a diaphragm. It's a muscle that's at the bottom of the chamber of your lungs. And what happens is, in order for air to get inside your lungs are not actually pumping the air inside of your body. It's the diaphragm that's doing it. And what the diaphragm does is that it contracts, which means it lowers itself. It goes down lower, and when it does, it creates an area of low pressure. And that sucks the air into your body. The way that you get air into your lungs is by creating a space of low pressure, a space of lower pressure than the outside air, and that, as I said before, higher pressure naturally wants to flow into an area of low pressure. So as you're inhaling right now, your diaphragm is contracting. It's literally lowering itself to make more space, creating a vacuum, a space of low pressure, and that high pressure then naturally wants to come inside of you. So when Jesus says in John 3, chapter 8, that the wind bloweth where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst now tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What Jesus is saying, that anyone that is born of the Spirit, there is a wind that blows. There is an inhalation, an exhalation that happens. There is a respiration that happens within the confines of your spirit. In other words, something inside of you lowers, becomes humble, and that lower pressure allows the Spirit of God to blow down into your lungs and cause you to live. Anyone that's born of the Spirit has to have a heart that is repentant, has to have a heart that's broken and contrite. And as you make room for God and you lower yourself, that creates a low pressure vacuum that allows the Spirit of God to flow into your lungs. It's His breath that's in my lungs, so I pour out my praise. I pour out my praise. It's His breath that causes me to live. And that's why in Psalm 150 it says that let everything that have breath praise you, the Lord. When you finally get to a place of humility and you lower yourself, that causes the Spirit of God to come into you and to oxygenate you, resuscitate you, and cause you to live. But the thing is, though, when that wind begins to blow, like a message that's written on the sand, it's gone with the wind. That my sins and my past mistakes that were written on the earth, as that wind blows, it blows away, it washes away all of my sins, all of my mistakes. As I inhale the breath of God, the Spirit of God coming inside of me, the wind blows and it begins to erase the messages of doubt, the messages of shame, the messages of guilt, the messages of hurt, the messages of transgression and iniquity. It begins to be erased as God blows on my life. And that's why the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, but all things have come become new. As his breath comes into my lungs, my sin, which was once red as scarlet, is erased as he blows it away. God blew my mind when he brought his spirit into my life, blew my mind with his goodness, blew my mind with his mercy, blew my mind with his excellence. As he blew on me, the devil was latched onto me, but God blew on him and blew him off of my shoulder, removed him from my life. It's his breath that's in my lungs. So I pour out my praise. I pour out my praise. My sins were gone with the wind. My mistakes, they were gone with the wind. As that wind came in, I became a new creation. I was born again, born of the Spirit. So as everyone that's born of the Spirit, there's a sound that accompanies that wind blowing. Now the thing is, Jesus had been wanting to do this for really since the beginning of time. In the sense that when, or I should say, since man's fall. Because when man had sinned, the messages of sin were written all over the earth. And God was trying to blow that message away. And he breathed and he blew on the prophets. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost moved on holy men of old. But he could only blow on them as they were telling of God's righteousness. But that was not enough to erase the sin. So God then said, you know what? I'm going to have to enter into the scene. I'm the Most High. And as the Most High, a high pressure came into the most lowest part of the earth, it caused a wind to come. And Jesus looked at the apostles and said, I'm going to send you another comforter. And the wind's not going to blow on you like the prophets of old, but he shall be in you. It's going to be inside of you. And as that wind begins to blow, and as you inhale and exhale, your sins are being blown away. And that's why in John chapter 20, verse 21, after Christ's resurrection and he appeared unto his disciples, he instructed them how they were to receive the Holy Ghost. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And so the apostles realized that we need the breath of God in our lungs. But the only way that you can have the air circulate is that you've got to get to a place of low pressure. And so they went into the upper room and they began to fast and to pray. And they began to humble themselves. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 verse 1 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now here's the thing. The Bible also describes the Holy Ghost like being fire. Fire becomes bigger the more that the wind blows on it. And the Bible says in verse 3, and there appeared in them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When I speak in that heavenly language, it's the sound of God blowing my mind. When I speak in that heavenly language, it's the sound of my sin being blown away. He blew on me, and I became alive. I became a new creation. High pressure, low pressure. The only way the church is going to become powerful is that it would become humble and lowly, not self-righteous, not holier than thou, not arrogant, but lowly and humble, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. The only way you're going to see deliverance is if we get a low pressure. Now, there is a false low pressure. If the pressure in the air gets too low or it drops dramatically, it can cause the wind to blow violently in a way that it is destructive. We call this a storm. If the pressure drops too low, and it gets too low, too quickly, it can cause the wind to become very violent. And this is actually where storms come from. A storm is defined as a disturbance in a planet's atmosphere that brings about a change in weather. And now what's interesting about storms is that they form along what's called a front. And a front is where two masses of air of different pressures collide with each other. So you've got a mass of air over here and a mass of air over here. Their pressures are different, and they're trying to get supremacy over the other. They begin to collide with each other. At the area where they meet, it creates what's called a front, and that's where storms come. Typically, it's a you have on one side a mass of cold, dry air, and then you have a mass of warm, moist air. When the two meet each other, it causes a storm because the two are fighting for position. The warm air is trying to exert position over the cold air, and the cold air is trying to exert position over the warm air. What typically happens is, since the cold air is more dense, the warm air begins to rise, and it goes over the cold air. And as it rises, it brings moisture, then it condenses, and it forms clouds, and it forms rains and storms, and the wind becomes all the more violent because the pressures are so different. And what the enemy wants to do is, what's happening right now in your life, if you're going through a storm, it means there are two masses of air, two kingdoms that are fighting against each other. And the place where they meet is the place where you're experiencing the most tribulation. The place where you're trying to live holy and trying to live righteous is also the place where the devil's at your front door trying to get you to slip up in sin. Where you're trying to walk in God's purpose is also the place where Satan is fighting you the hardest. There is a clash of air masses. Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan works in the air. He's called the prince of the power of the air. And what he wants to do is he wants to bring your pressure low. And I don't mean low as in humility. He wants to bring you low in your dignity. He wants to bring your faith as low as possible so you'll stop trusting God. He wants to bring your sense of righteousness as low as possible so you'll fall into sin. He wants to bring it as low as possible. And when that happens and God is reaching for you, when you're walking in sin, when you're about to make a mistake, God is reaching for you. And so there was a clash of righteousness and a clash of iniquity, and there's a storm that's brewing around you. And you're wondering why there's so much tribulation, because two kingdoms are fighting for your soul right now. There is war going on in the heavenlies right now between the prince of the power of the air and the prince of peace. And there's a front that's there. And there's a front that's there. There's a storm that's there. And one is trying to exert dominion over the other. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Maybe right now you're going through a storm. And one of the things that I recognize about a storm is that whenever there is a storm going on, you can't see the sun anymore. And that's exactly what the prince of the power of the air wants to do. He wants to block out your ability to see the Son of God, to see the light of God, so that you'll give up. And the pressure becomes so much in the sense that your faith, it lowers so much because of the circumstances, because of the trouble, because you're in a storm and the wind is blowing so fierce, it's trying to tear you up. It's trying to destroy you. What do we do when you can't see the sun? What do you do when the wind is blowing so hard? Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. There's so much wind blowing, so much debris, so much hurricane gale force winds that are going around you. You're wondering how you're going to stand. Keep standing on the promises of God. Go back to the word of God. When you can't see everything, when you can't come to church on that particular day, when you can't get a hold of pastor, when you can't get a hold of somebody else, stand on God's word. Stand on God's word. Don't let the devil make you go gone with the wind. You stand on the word of God. Now, what's interesting is storms, they get their power from the surface of the earth. They get their energy by sucking up heat and moisture from the surface of the earth. You know, so many times we feed our own storms. Satan is empowered by the things that you say, the things that you do, your doubt and your unbelief, your depression, your lack of peace, your lack of sense of mind. He's feeding off of your fears. He's feeding off of your worries. And the storm becomes more intense and the wind begins to blow harder because he's gaining energy from you. That's why a hurricane will gain more energy and intensity as it goes over the water. It's got more substance to work with. And one of the reasons why the enemy has so much power over you, because a lot of times we're feeding our own storms. You're feeding your own addiction by what you're watching. You're feeding your own imprisonment by who you're hanging out with. You're feeding your own suffering by the things that you're confessing that are contrary to the Word of God. And then you wonder why they're here one Sunday and they're gone for three or four Sundays, because they got gone with the wind. The wind swept them off. The pressure was too much. We want to get to a place where, despite all the things that the devil is doing, we don't give any place to the devil. Remember, wind occurs because of high pressure and low pressure. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air, and he tries everything he can to get you to elevate him to a place of highness. And then he gets you to get afraid and scared, so he puts you in a position of lowness. And your fear is literally creating a space for Satan to operate in your life. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place unto the devil. Don't give him a space of low pressure where he can sweep on in and blow you right out of your hinges, off the foundation of the Word of God. But you stand firm on the Word of God. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I'm about done. And the same day when the evening was come, he says unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now the thing is, I want you to understand, is that there are two accounts in the Bible of Jesus, I guess, calming a storm. In one of the accounts, Jesus was in the boat. In another account, Jesus was not in the boat. The disciples were on the sea by themselves, and Jesus had to come walking on the water to come rescue them. What does that tell us? That tells us whether you're saved or not, storms are going to come. Whether you're in Jesus or Jesus is in you, storms, troubles, and tribulations are going to come. The difference is, though, if a storm comes and Jesus is in my boat, all I got to do is just wake him up, and he'll talk to the storm and tell it, peace be still. What? Let me ask you guys a question. Why did you let Jesus go to sleep inside of you? Why do you let Jesus remain dormant inside you? Keep Jesus awake so that he can speak to the storm and say, peace be still. Sickness be still. Financial depravity be still. Depression be still. You've got no claim on me. You've got nothing on me. Wake Jesus up. The Bible says to stir up the gift. Stir it up and speak to the storm. Speak to that storm. Some of you right now, you're in a storm. You're on a boundary line between the two kingdoms where they are fighting. The kingdom of the light and the kingdom of the darkness is fighting for your soul, fighting for your sanity, fighting for your well-being. And there's storms all around you, and you're wondering as to why there's so much calamity, so much atrocity, so many problems happening around me, because there's a war for your soul going on. And along that front, all you need to do is to wake up the master of the sea. It's to get Jesus in your boat. If he's not in your boat today, I can see him walking on the water of your life right now, walking towards you. And the thing is, the Bible says he would have passed them by. What got him to come was them asking for help. And one of the things that we don't like to do is to ask for help. But asking for help is an admittance of an issue, of a weakness. In other words, being lowly and humble. And when they asked for help, Jesus came in to the situation. And the Bible says when he got in the boat, the wind immediately ceased. He didn't even have to rebuke it. He just got in the boat and it stopped. That's what happened in my life when Jesus came into my heart. The winds were blowing, the winds of sin, the winds of guilt and shame, the winds of condemnation. But when Jesus got in my boat, there was peace in my soul. Don't be gone with the wind of Satan. What we do want gone with the wind is my sin. And my shame. God blow in my life. God blow my mind. blow my mind. Blow out the wrong thinking, the stinking thinking, the wrong perspective, blow my mind. The only way that's going to happen is if you create a proper area of low pressure, of humility and submission unto God. The Bible says in Nahum chapter 1, verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. I want to read that one again. Nahum chapter 1, verse 3. He says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. God has his way in the storm. When he gets in the storm, he has his way with it, the Bible says. It says he's so big and so amazing that the clouds are just the dust of his feet. Psalm chapter 89, verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof rise, thou stillest them. Let's stand. There's two gone with the winds here. There's your sin, your shame, your mistakes that God wants to blow away. He wants to erase the record. There's another gone with the wind where Satan is trying to, as the scriptures say, sift you as wheat. You know how they get wheat, right? They grind it, and then they throw it up in the air, and the wind catches it. And the chaff, which is the bad parts of the wheat, it goes away in the wind, but the wheat comes down to the ground. I'm sorry, I had it backwards. And that's exactly what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to blow you away, blow you off your stance and faith in God. Don't be gone with his wind, but I want to be gone with the Lord's wind. Because one day, that eastern sky is going to crack. There's going to be a great getting up in that morning when the wind of God is going to carry us. We're going to meet him in the air to forever be with the Lord. Spiritually, you're dead. You have no life in you. And God is saying, I want to perform CPR on you. I want to breathe my life-giving spirit inside of you. But the only way that's going to happen is there's got to be a space for my breath to fill. And that only occurs when there's an area of low pressure, when you begin to contract, you begin to let God have his way. You've been in a storm. You've been toiling all night against the wind. The wind is contrary, trying to keep you from your purpose, keep you from your destiny, the wind of Satan, that is. But now the wind of God is here to propel you to heaven. Open up this opportunity. If you've not yet been born again, born of the Spirit of God, then what you need to do is create an area of low pressure, and the Most High will naturally come on in. He'll naturally come on in. 30,000 times a day, 30,000 times a day, you create an area of low pressure when you inhale. 30,000 times a day. It's his breath that's in our lungs. It's in him that we live, we move, we breathe, we have our being. Right now, wherever you are, why don't you make a space for God's wind, the wind of the Holy Spirit, to blow your mind? Why don't you make a space where he can come in and occupy you, resuscitate you, rejuvenate you, oxygenate you, cause you to live, truly live. There is no life outside of Christ. There is no life outside of his spirit indwelling in us. God does not want a visitation. God wants a habitation. He wants to dwell inside of you. He wants to live and reside in you. But that only happens when you get low. I know the devil's trying to get you high. We don't want to get high. We want to get low. We want to get on our knees. We want to get in a position of submission. We want to get in a position where there's low pressure so that his spirit can fill us. I open these altars today. Maybe you're in a storm right now and the enemy's trying to blow you away. But all you need to do is hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to the word of God. Don't let him take away your integrity. Keep doing the word of God, and the enemy will not be able to take you away. Don't let the enemy take your breath away. Don't let the enemy take your praise away. Let everything in that breath praise you, the Lord. Come on, I open these altars today. Why don't you create an area of low pressure? Create an area of submission. Create an area of humility so that the wind of God can blow your mind, blow away the junk, blow away all the trash and the litter, blow away all the mistakes, blow away the transgression, blow away the sin, blow away the condemnation, blow away the shame, blow it all away, God. Blow my mind, remove, oh God, anything that's unlike you, remove it from me. Blow in my life. And allow the seeds of God to come and to pollinate me, energize me, propel me to the next place that you want me to be, the next destiny you want me to go. In Jesus' name, right now in the name of Jesus, I release the Spirit of God to blow in here. Let Holy Ghost fire begin to ignite in here as your breath begins to blow on us. Blow in us, Holy Spirit. Let the day of Pentecost ignite tongues of flame of fire that incinerates, annihilates, extricates, and burn up anything that's unlike you. Let the wind of God blow in this place. Blow it away right now in Jesus' name. Blow away the shame. Blow away the sickness and the disease. Blow away, hallelujah, the depravity. Blow away the depression. Blow it away by the wind of God. In the name of Jesus, right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. Create an area of low pressure. Create an area of low pressure. Breathe in the breath of God. Breathe in His life-giving force. Breathe in His Spirit right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.